Hello, String.
All right, we're back. We've got limited time, and I'm wearing my...
I actually wanted to ask you this. I'm like, I see you wearing your elephant shirt.
This is how I normally dress. I actually, for video one, I was wearing a tank top, a different one, and then I put on a t-shirt because I wanted to look respectable.
Oh, yeah, because I... Yeah, so why didn't you choose not to look respectable?
Because rock stars dress like this when they're ladies dress. It's pretty warm here, and I'm going to go for a surf shortly.
I want you to be yourself.
We've got limited time.
I want you to be your embodied self.
Continue.
Okay, so in this video, we continue talking about our story.
We left off before the other guy came to Colombia.
Yeah.
Okay.
So to catch everyone, and by the way, if you haven't listened to part two and part one, you have to listen to it, because now we're coming to like the culmination of how String and I actually ended in a very serious relationship that led to marriage and kids and everything.
If you're interested in our story, there'll be a link somewhere.
Right. You know, so first, you know, it was all confusing. First sex was terrible, blah, blah. And then there was a moment where things have shifted when you actually took charge, took me to the jungle and put my brains out. And then from then on, everything shifted. And at the same time, we were talking about that. We were both single still. We were spending a lot of time together. We were dating, getting to know each other, but we were not serious. As in, like, we were not officially in a relationship. And at the same time, there was this other guy that I was texting with who had booked tickets to see me to come to Colombia. We had an interesting conversation last episode where you said that you knew that I liked you when I cooked you dinner. But I remember when I cooked you dinner and I was nervous, I was already in love with you. Like, he was so serious, but I wasn't so that
in love with me.
I think I.
Why didn't you cancel the flight?
Yeah, good.
This is a good question. I want to know this. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck's going on? Why are you still coming here?
Yeah, so I can explain. So there was this moment where we're seeing each other, we're basically sleeping with each other, you know, but we don't have an official conversation. You didn't have a conversation with me to ask me, hey, do you want to be my girlfriend? We're together or whatever. And so...
And can I tell you why?
Why?
Because I wasn't ready to. But I also, as a man, I don't want another guy there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's...
Yeah, I tell you, well, how do you explain that? Because that's not fair to me. You're not ready to, and you don't want me seeing other men. That's why a lot of men are hurt when they find out.
It's not... Yeah, it's not fair. But okay, I'm just saying that's the way I feel.
For your vulnerability. No, but how does a woman then tackle that? Like, how does a woman navigate funneling, which is what I teach women, where you should date multiple men at a time, which is what I did. So I'll explain why I didn't cancel this other guy.
You felt obligated because it was already planned months in advance.
It was already planned months in advance, but I think what would have happened if you had a conversation with me beforehand. You knew he was coming, so it wasn't like I was lying. So it's the same thing when a woman is asking me, should I tell all the other men that I'm dating other people? I said, no. But if he asks you, you should say, well, I am single.
Well, I didn't want to know the answer. I just assumed it's going to be cancelled.
Yeah, well, don't assume.
Yeah, I know. And you said, is there another man in now? Because I want to know. Do you think?
But see, like, this is where a lot of confusion happens. And there has to be clarity. And if it's not clear, you never had a conversation with me because you weren't ready. But you also didn't feel good about me seeing other men. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, that's the reality of things, right? So, like, let's say if your Mexico trip or the U.S. trip, because you had a trip coming up, if that trip was coming before this guy was coming...
Yeah, it would have been different. But I wasn't ready, so I didn't want to have that conversation.
Yeah. Why do you think you weren't ready?
I don't think I knew you as well, and we were having fun, but I was falling for you, but I wasn't like, okay, this is a woman that I want to be with. And it wasn't until we went to Tirana where I was like, oh, okay, I want to be with this woman.
That point in time, I remember you and I were in such a whirlwind, you know, we were like seeing each other almost every day and sleeping with each other almost every day. And I knew this guy was coming, but I wasn't in a relationship. And was it unfair to the other guy?
Oh, it's completely unfair. The other guy, he got fucked over. You know, I don't know.
I'm sorry. She did get fucked.
Well, I feel.
Well, yeah, okay.
It's not his fault that he turned up to this.
Here's where we need to clarify a few things. He didn't get fucked over, and it wasn't unfair in the same way that it wasn't unfair to you. Because I was single, and I was in a relationship with him, and I was in a relationship with you. And in fact, I had a conversation with him about where is this going and blah, blah, whatever. And he's like, look, I'll come visit. And the conversation that we had with him was nothing, no commitment. It was just, I'm just going to come visit and we'll see what happens. And I think there were words like no obligation, whatever. And I said, okay.
Okay. Well, so, his expectation was
yes,
very
it was a question that this situation is very, very unique and particular. It's not going to happen to all the women listening or whatever. But so I remember when he arrived, which I went like literally the day, you know, I spend the night with you. And I went to meet this guy.
Yeah, the next time. Yeah, I remember. That's when I cut all ties.
Which now that I think about it was so freaking bizarre, but I was in this place of uncertainty with both of you. Like, I didn't know that I actually was in love with you. I was just living my life and having a lot of fun like you were.
Yeah.
And so here this guy arrives that we've been kind of chatting and whatever. And I was like, all right, well, he's going to arrive and we'll just see what happens. And then he arrived. And then unfortunately for him, it was very clear to me the moment he arrived that this is a no-go and that I want to be with you. So that's the unfortunate and shitty part. But I would have canceled the flight if you hadn't had a conversation with me or you were going to the States or whatever and said, hey, I'm leaving. Do you want to come and leave to Mexico with me? Which you did after. But unfortunately, the timing of it wasn't right and you weren't ready to do that and whatever. I would have canceled the flight if I was in a relationship, like, obviously. My intention.
Yeah, we weren't gyre. Like, we weren't in a relationship.
Yeah. So from that perspective, no one can put it on me. You can't put it on me. I think you're not putting it on me. And he can't put it on me. Because
I'm not putting it on you. I was pissed at the time.
Yeah, I know. Well, pissed. Yeah. And it wasn't comfortable for me. Like, I felt so bad for this whole situation because I remember when he arrived, it was just such a mess. I just couldn't. I didn't know what to do with myself.
On your head.
Oh my God. So I kind of remember, like, we had dinner or whatever, and I said, I need to go and see do something. And then I went to see our friend Toby.
That's what you texted.
I tried to message you, and obviously you didn't pick up. So you just blocked me from everywhere. And then I went to Toby and I said, Toby, can you message Strang? I don't know what to do. Like, it was such a mess. And I remember I was like crying and so stressed.
Because that was on the Sunday afternoon. You went to Toby's, and Toby said, "A friend of mine wants to know if you want to come up to the pool." And I said, "Tell your friend, I'll see her at Spanish class." Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So
I think you end up messaging me somewhere between that.
And Spanish, yeah.
Spanish cry saying, I can't deal with this. This is bullshit. I'm checking out.
Yeah, so I couldn't reach you. And it was clear that this guy was like, he needed to go. And he understood it right away. And he told me, I didn't come here to be free.
Well, I didn't want to be reached while he was still here.
Yeah, I know.
So for me, it was.
So at that point in time, you're not available. And I basically said, you know what? Fuck all of this. I'm out of here. I don't want to deal with any of these men. I'm changing my Spanish class. I'm moving things, like, whatever. And this was the moment. So tell me, do you remember what happened next?
And I said, I don't want to read between the lines. We'll talk about it after Spanish class tomorrow. Or something along those lines.
So why did you do that?
Because I don't want to have a chat conversation and try to work out what's going on.
Okay. But you did know what was happening for me, or you kind of had an idea that I'm trying to reach you.
No, well, Toby, I knew you were with Toby. And then when you sent, I'm pretty sure when you sent that message, you said he's left. But I still, you know, I can't deal with.
Yeah. So that guy left and I said, I'm done with you. I also said, I'm done with you because I can't.
We were a mess in Spanish class the next day.
Was it crying or what?
No, but you could see you're just.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
So you sent me that message, which I think like that message, I don't want to read between the lines. I think this was a pivotal moment of learning for me. And a lot of the stuff that I'm teaching my clients now is that there's so many things that could be read between the lines, and a text message is not a good place to actually have a conversation.
Especially with a guy like me, you always grill me about my short messages, my short emails. I'm very to the point, like that communication method for me. Yeah. I'd rather just meet a girl and talk.
I think that if you would have reacted differently, or if you said, sure, fine, you would have checked out, that would be the end of everything. The same way, if you did not kind of take charge and take me to the jungle, that would probably be the end. I mean, maybe.
I'm treading on thin ice. Like, it's just like so many little things could have just broken it.
No, but it could have, because in that moment, if I were to analyze polarity, it was very clear that you were leading, you took charge of the dynamic. Here, you also, because I was like, I'm out, whatever. And you're like, no, let's talk, number one. And then you took charge, and we did talk. And I remember we were in this.
Next to the little court.
Yeah.
The tennis court.
I think we were like both crying because I was crying. And then I think you two.
I had something in my eye. Yeah. I had something.
Do you remember that conversation?
Okay. That was a conversation of where are we at? You know, what's going on? And we were both vulnerable. And I knew that I almost lost you. You felt the same way. And we connected and we talked for real, and that's the first time that we actually expressed that we want to be together.
Yeah.
And from...
Do you remember how you expressed it?
I don't remember. No. Do you?
No, but that was the first time where we actually had a serious conversation about what this is.
Yeah, because it was all fun and games before that.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was hanging out, having fun, going...
So obviously our situation, and you know, I'm very clear that this doesn't happen in day-to-day life with women who are dating and who are coaching with me and whatever, but there's a lesson here, and it's exactly what happens when women are funneling and they're so afraid of funneling. But there's a moment where you date multiple men, and then one of the men, like you and I, you're not in a relationship, right? And so there comes a moment. How should we call it? I should call it a moment of climax. There comes a moment where things, like how I imagine it is, you know, if there's different ingredients, it's like a chemical reaction. There's an explosion of some sort that two people realize, or man realize, something happens where it becomes very close, very intense. And at some point, the guy who's at the top of the funnel, we call him, who's like pursuing and whatever, he either just naturally would have a conversation. Would you be my girlfriend? This would be probably the best scenario.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or something happens like happened with us. You didn't have a conversation with me, so I'm single and I'm having fun. A lot of the times the scenario is that the guy finds out that she's actually still dating other men, like you did. And it's very uncomfortable. A client of mine just shared that last week. The guy was like, it was visible that he was hurt and he was disappointed and he felt almost like betrayed by it. Which is totally understandable.
Yeah,
right?
Sort of like, did you go out on these amazing dinners and trips with different guys? And were you really emotionally involved with them? Were you...
There were a few.
Yeah, but for me, it was like, so what? I knew we were both single, but I never considered it. Honestly, I just thought...
Think about that. There are other people here that she's seeing or she's involved with.
Well, I'm also deliberately not focusing on that, because I remember you mentioning a guy who's pursuing you at the yoga class and stuff. We went on a day trip with him. This is before that. And I was like, okay, well, he's trying.
Yeah.
He's trying, I'm trying. And that's just what it is.
Yeah. So there comes that moment where there's a moment of tension, as I call it. And that moment where things are getting serious and you're starting to discuss, and maybe even there is a conversation of exclusivity, whatever, or he finds out, or, you know, that you are seeing other men, and it's a moment where he can retrieve like you did. I think the natural reaction would be to be hurt and to retrieve in the same way. If I knew, say we were sleeping with each other, whatever, and there was another girl, like that would really hurt me, I think, too.
Oh.
So that's why we funnel. The danger of ending up in a situation is so high for a woman, because the moment that we start sleeping with a guy, and especially if we're having fun and I'm meeting friends, blah, 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 I assume I'm in a relationship, but you're not, because the guy isn't ready. And most of the time, the guy is ready way later than the woman. Because for us, we can't have sex without an emotional connection most of the time. So I'm programmed to attach and think that I'm in a relationship with you, especially after sex. So that's why it's very different. That's why the funnel is so beneficial as a, I guess, as a framework or modality of dating, because that's what happened with us. Because of this event, which was very, it could not have happened, but because of this event, we had a serious conversation for the first time.
But we weren't boyfriend, girlfriend from having that chat.
Yeah.
For me, it became really serious when we went, I think a week or 2 weeks after that, we went to Cartagena. And then we went to the Tayrona National Park. And that was the first trip away that we went on longer time.
But after that conversation, I felt like you were serious and we're together. Although you didn't explicitly say that. But after that, I could have not seen other men in my mind, like you locked me in. Again, but I shouldn't have assumed.
It was 2 weeks after when we went on that trip together. During that and the next week, it was sort of rekindling.
Yeah.
And then we went away.
Yeah.
Remember, we stayed at that hotel in Santa Marta, then went to Tayrona, and we're walking down, and it was hot, and I was just sweating. I was dying, and you're laughing your ass off. You're going, how can you love it? You love the heat. You think you're all this, but you're always bitching about the heat. And then when we got to the beach, I remember we got to the beach and there were waves down there, and I went, jumped in. I think they were a bit rough for you. You didn't jump in. You were Instagramming at the time, remember?
Yeah, I was Wonder Rover.
That's right. You're in this 505. Yeah.
But in that moment, you knew that things were serious?
No. In that moment, I was like, okay, I'm going to marry this girl. Because it was then, because you were cool, because you're just hanging shit on me, and you're laughing, and I was like, oh, this is, because it was fun. We were having fun. There was just something along that. That's when I was like, okay, she's the one.
Okay, what happened next?
Hey, girlfriend, before we continue with this episode, I wanted to jump in real quick and share an important message for you. There's a lot of advice out there about dating and relationships. Books, experts, and gurus, and even your granny has a surefire way to succeed in love. And most of it is complete BS. Well, maybe not so much granny's advice. As you may or may not know, I run a transformational 10-week group coaching program called Claim, just like the podcast, that has helped hundreds of women around the world completely change their dating reality with men, where they go from being frustrated and burnt out to actually enjoying dating and starting to attract some amazing men who stand strong in their masculinity, who are confident, who court and pursue you and plan and organize and pay for dates, but who are also emotionally available and are ready and willing and, again, available for a relationship with you. And I've developed this program with one thing in mind, that you already have everything you need to attract the man in the relationship of your dreams. You don't need to change who you are. You are not broken. You just need to make a few key shifts, and they all start from the inside. If you're ready to feel that kind of excitement, ease, and joy in dating and relationships that so many of my clients have experienced, and me myself, as you know, I have attracted my masculine men and now have a family with him, I have an invitation for you. Work with me and my team to get on the fast track so you can start seeing big changes in your life ASAP. Go to claim.com/apply to sign up for your free, no-catch discovery call or short interview with a member of my team. This will be your chance to experience our approach firsthand and to ask any personal questions you might have about the program and whether this is a good fit for you. It's also going to be our chance to see if we would be a good fit for you, because we're not in this and I'm not in this for a quick buck, and we don't work just with anyone. We're committed to your success and we want to make sure we can help you to achieve it. The good news is that dating and relationships doesn't have to be this hard. So if you don't want to wait around any longer wondering where are all the good men, if you need an urgent change and are open to receiving personalized help and guidance and want to invest in yourself, then apply for this no catch. There's nothing that you need to give us. It's just a free discovery call for you so you can see whether this is a good fit for you and so they can work on this together. So go to claimed.com/apply. This will take you to a calendar where you can book your call, answer some short questions, and then we shall see you on the other side. All right, now back to the episode.
I had a trip coming to the going to the US, and I said, come to Mexico, because I'm going to go to Mexico after that. Come with me. And I sold it, like, let me show you the place. Here's the apartment. Here's where we'll be staying in Playa.com. And here's the beach.
Here's the rooftop
pool. Here's the rooftop pools. I felt like I still had to sell you into this because we weren't living together. We're spending a lot of time. But this was, hey, if you're coming to Mexico, we're moving. We're living together.
Were you nervous? Did you know what I'm going to say?
I expected you to say yes, but I was nervous. You weren't sure because that was a big move. I think, did I buy you a ticket?
Probably only bought me a ticket. You bought all of my tickets since then.
Because I needed you to confirm dates and you said, oh, I need to check with the university when the classes are finishing and all that. And I was like, are you buying your tickets? Because I wasn't sure. Because you could back out. Because I'd already committed. I'm going to Mexico.
Yeah.
And you're coming or you're going. So it was uncertain until the ticket was purchased.
In my memory, somehow, I thought that I just went, it was so clear, it was a total yes. But that was a big moment for me because I think that, yeah, we had the serious conversation, whatever, but this was the moment where this was your claim, pretty much. And that's why I always tell women the claim can come explicit, where it's like, we're together in a relationship, doing with my girlfriend, all of that. Or it can be implicit. I think with us, it was explicit, where like, you were inviting me to go with you to another country and live with you. That's crazy. That whole thing happened in what, like 3 months? From the moment you met to the moment where you invited me to live with you in Mexico. So that timeline was so fast, but we were also kind of traveling together. So I trusted you and there's things that happened. But also we shared so much, like we were pretty much like living together. Yeah, I remember I was kind of sitting with that and I was excited, but I was also nervous. I'm like, I've never been to Mexico before. I mean, YOLO. But I also didn't overthink this, you know. It wasn't like, it was serious, but I was like, well, let's see how this goes, right?
Well, yeah, both of us had freedom to move. So yeah. What's a worst case scenario? Oh, this doesn't work out. I'll just move to another country.
But I didn't think about, I mean, did you think about the worst case scenario? I didn't think about a worst case scenario.
I didn't, but that is the worst case scenario.
Yeah, I guess so. Like for me, it was so flowing. I felt that I could trust you. I felt taken care of. And everything that we've experienced was a continuous consistent. And you were consistent. Like that's what we always say, for look for not words, but follow words with action, trust actions. You were consistent and present. I could trust you every step of the way. I saw how you behaved in different situations and booking hotels, booking flights, organizing. So 6 months after we traveled together, you proposed.
I proposed in September 2016.
Did you plan the proposal? I know you didn't plan it because it was random and it was so bad. Again, like... Our relationship thing is so random.
I planned to do it.
Oh, you did plan to do it.
How
did you know that? I mean, did you know in Tirola, this is my wife? But when did you decide to actually talk to me about it or do it?
When we went to Barcelona.
Yeah.
So we lived in Barcelona for 2.5 months. And during that time, I had to fly back to LA.
Where you came earlier with
that. And I was supposed to be away for 10, 11 days, and I came back in 7 because I went to this work conference.
Nothing was better than being with me.
Yeah, well, I missed the hell out of you. And then I surprised you. I came back a few days earlier.
Yeah.
While I was away, I missed you. And we were living together. So we lived together in Mexico. We lived together in Barcelona. I felt like I knew I was going to marry you before then, but then it was like, I'm going to do it. And then I started thinking, when am I going to do it? And I knew that I was going back to Serbia and you were going to Bulgaria and we were going to meet up. You were going to come to Belgrade for 4 days. And then I said, okay, I want to do it there. I just thought, look, I was born in Belgrade and it would be...
When you say, I want to do it there, like, what did you imagine?
To ask you to marry me. to pop the question. But I didn't plan on... I just.
You didn't even have a ring or anything.
No, but I didn't feel like I needed to. I read different things about engagement rings. And some people go buy an engagement ring together. Some pop down on the knee with the ring. There's no rule.
Did you read that in preparation?
Well, there's other things like you should spend 25% of your annual income on a ring.
Excuse me. Yeah, where is that?
But also, I also thought about Jake and Rach, our friends. They got married. There wasn't a ring, but they went out together and purchased a ring. Because it was a ring for her, for Rachel. Because it was like, so he's like, well, let's get something that she really loves.
Did you consult? I'm curious. Did you tell anyone?
No.
Why not?
Because what if it didn't work out? I don't want to fail in public.
No, but not in public, like you could have just told your brother or something. I don't know.
No, nobody knew. Because the family didn't even know until we got back to Australia. Or did they?
I didn't come to Australia before you proposed, right? We just met over the phone. So I came as a bride.
You came and we were surprised, Mum and Dad. Because I told Nish, my brother, and family in Serbia knew, but I told him to... Actually, just Nada and Sergio knew, my cousin and her husband. And I wanted to surprise my parents because my parents knew I met this girl. She's coming to Australia. Things are serious and they didn't know that.
Oh, so we were already planning to go to Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you feel like it was too soon? Like, how did you go about that decision of marriage?
It wasn't too soon. I was 40.
Yeah, I was 27.
Yeah, exactly. That's good, blah, blah. No, but I was ready. I want to have a family. I loved you and I wanted to be together.
Wait, let you know you loved me.
I think when I felt like I almost lost you.
Oh, then.
We both laid our cards out. Like before that, you hadn't told me how much you feel about me. I hadn't told you how I feel about you. And it was that brought us to actually talk about, okay, how do we really feel?
I think this is the end of our story. Pretty much like how we got engaged and then we got married a year later, 3-day wedding in Moldova. It was like one of the best experiences that anyone had. And then I got pregnant pretty quickly, 6 months after we got married with our first, with Zoe. And then we moved to Australia and that's how I ended up here. And then, and then we had a second one. So at the moment we have two kids, four. Zoe's 4 and Eva is 1.5. So that's kind of the conclusion of our story. I just want to quickly ask you about funneling. So women have so many questions about it. It's such a new way when they hear about funneling, dating multiple men at a time or seeing multiple men at a time, stuff, they get literally flustered and they feel guilty and all of that. And I'm lying. And what is the guy going to say? And when he finds out, he backs off. Like, how do you think about that as a guy? And what would you tell women who are watching and listening?
As a guy, me personally, I didn't like it, but I wasn't ready. So I understand that, okay, you know, everyone has their own choice to make. I wasn't ready to be in a relationship. We weren't exclusive. If we were together, sleeping together, and then you were sleeping with 2 or 3 other guys, then I'd say, okay, I don't want to be a part of this.
No, I wasn't.
I didn't ask.
Yeah, there you go. So I don't know. Maybe I was.
Yeah, but I'm not going to ask.
Yeah, well, don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, but if I found out, then I'd be going, okay, let me think about this. You know, it's like, well, I was in a stage of life. I was having fun. It's not as if I'm
looking for a wife.
Yeah, I was happy to meet you, but it wasn't like, oh, if this doesn't work out, my life's going to be a mess.
Were you like commitment oriented and commitment minded? Like, were you looking for a serious relationship or for a wife?
I don't know if I was looking for a wife. I was looking for who I'm serious enough about to get married to and have children.
And then when the right girl comes, then, when I think about when there is the funnel in place for a woman, it just puts her into the right mindset of not getting attached to the first guy in the camp and putting all of her eggs in one basket. Because I know as a woman, that's what I do. That's what I've always done. And that's what women do. And then you just self-sabotage yourself. And then that creates a lot of hurt and stuff. So, I mean, sometimes it happens naturally and organically. And for a lot of people, you just meet someone, you hang out, you start saving together, whatever. And then you get into a relationship, bros, whatever. But in the current dating climate and everything that's happening, funneling and seeing different men at a time, yes, potentially that might cause, you know, some moments like we had. But also, this is where you said, I knew I was in love, or I knew I loved you because I almost lost you.
And that was because we had a conversation, conversation then.
Yeah.
Because I could have probably kept on going for, you know, something didn't happen. I was having fun. Like, we could have kept going for
Probably have ended the same.
Yeah. I'd say so. We don't know.
But we don't know. But what I know for sure is that because that happened, that escalated things quickly for us.
If I was giving advice to Zoe or Eva, so our daughters.
Yeah.
My advice would be, I wouldn't use the word funnel, because for me, it just reminds me of marketing.
Okay.
Yeah, so it has that.
No, but it is a funnel, because it's a funnel.
Yeah. My advice would be, let guys treat you well, and if you decide to be with a guy, then be with that guy. If you're not sure, you will be attached to the guy. If you start sleeping with a guy, you'll be attached to him. You know, just be wise. But don't go for the first guy that tells you that he's really interested, because that's not, guys will say stuff like that.
Exactly.
I was in a situation once where the girl thought it was more serious, actually it's been twice, more serious than what it was.
For you?
No, it was more serious for
her. Yeah, more serious for her than what it was for you. Yeah. That's a more common scenario than the other way around.
Yeah. Didn't feel good. Because then I know, okay, there's a lot of emotion, because for me, it wasn't emotional. But I can't even recall, at what point did you think we're boyfriend, girlfriend? Because for me, that never occurred.
Right. Because obviously relationships are organic and they happen, there's so many layers. But if you follow this almost like a rule or a framework, it just puts you into the best position to attract the right guys and to establish these dynamics in the right way, and to put yourself into the position of power rather than sitting there and thinking, well, we've gone on 5 dates, we've been sleeping together, I start to miss this guy, he hasn't called me for like 10 hours, what's going on, where is this going, you know, because that's what happens. And if he potentially drops in something about the future, or you meet your friend, the woman's like, poof, I'm in a relationship. She's like on a relationship train. He's just figuring himself out and is not ready. Like, you weren't ready, you know, so.
You met my friends.
Yeah, I met your friends and everything, but I was just cruising. So the answer to this is focusing on yourself, on what you like and what you want. And yeah, the sleeping part, the sex for women puts everything, makes everything so much more serious. So, and I always say, if you're sleeping with one guy and dating many, you better sleep with many. But I mean, you better sleep with all of them. And I know that this advice gets so misinterpreted. Where it's like, and I would hate to see somewhere online that Anna Roba says you should sleep with everyone. That's not the idea.
Clip this.
The idea is that whenever you sleep with one guy, like, that's it, mission attached. It's very clear. And it's very hard to not attach. So
for me, the key thing with the funnel is, you are available. Like, until you're in a relationship, until you're in a committed relationship, however that is, whether it's explicit, implicit, both you and the man know that this is a committed relationship, you're available. Because the opportunity cost for a woman is so much higher. And this isn't me, this is the reading of, I mean, the best book on that is The Evolution of Desire. The opportunity cost for a woman is so much higher than a guy. And if you're kind of seeing a guy, or you think you're in a relationship, but you're not, and you're blocking off every other good guy that may be a good match for you, you're ultimately hurting yourself.
The worst position to be is like for a woman to bring a conversation saying, where are we? Where is this going? You don't mind doing that. Because if you have to bring that conversation, you know, he's not, wherever you're going, he's not going there yet. If I were to bring up this conversation, where are we going? You weren't ready. Like, if you even are asking this question and wondering where this is going with this one guy that you're only seeing, like,
that's a red flag for a guy, by the way.
Oh, so
where is this going? Sure. Like, oh, okay.
Because she pops the question too soon. Almost always. Because for us, and this is evolution, I'm not even thinking about it consciously. And, you know, we might not even be having sex, but there's always an emotional connection. When you can hang out with a woman with like zero connection, all that's needed is a physical attraction in the beginning. Yeah. And even when we have sex, you can just be like, nice to meet you. See you later. And then you're gone. And I'm sitting there being like, what the fuck? He hasn't called. Like, the worst thing for a woman is when you have sex with a man and he leaves and he doesn't message you for like days. You feel worthless. You feel abandoned and broken. And that sucks. And then kills all of your self-esteem because you feel like you've been used. And that's why you funnel. The female has the choice. And if you make the wrong choice in who you're sleeping with and your value in your eyes, your self-worth just goes down and down and down because you get this evidence that I'm already in a relationship, he's not. And it's like, where does it go from there? It doesn't go anywhere.
It's completely different for guys. When we met, I was 40. You were 26, just turning 27.
You love that fact.
I do. And yeah, makes me proud. But I didn't have it in my mind, this is my last chance. Because as a man, I've got time. But if you were 35 and I was 40, I've still got a lot of time.
But you did feel like you were getting older.
Because I wanted to have children. Yeah, I wanted to have children and be able to hang out with them and have energy. I love kids. But it accelerated when my brother had his first daughter. Oh my God, I love this child. And something brought it up within me. And he's also younger as well. There was less pressure on me from externally, from family, because my parents were satisfied because they had a granddaughter.
And you're also a guy.
Yeah, because I've got time. But I think if it was the other way around, I don't know. I don't have sisters, so.
I still find it so fascinating how we still don't understand each other. Like, there have been books written about gender dynamics and dating and, like, you know. I mean, that's why I started this work. My whole fascination about men and polarity and everything, that there's such a huge divide.
We're very different, and it stems from, I mean, it's evolution.
Mating strategies, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to finish here, and next we've got planned two episodes, we'll see. And we have a bunch of questions from, now that we've kind of went through our story, we have a bunch of questions about our marriage and how it works, how we think about different things, like logistics. I love the questions. All right, that's all we're discussing in this episode. Thanks, everyone.
All right, beautiful woman, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. And please, please leave a review. This is super helpful for me, for the podcast. And this is a time to give back, to leave a review, share this episode with your girlfriend who really wants to hear it. And you can also find me on Medium and YouTube at Anna Rova, where I share pretty much very similar content and where we change the world one embodied woman at a time. All right, I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for being here with me today.